AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock.
A camel surname.
It's season 11 of the Fighting Cock podcast. Episode 1 might as well do it because I was going to call it a special, like Conte signed special. Because when we planned to do this yesterday, it was like, oh my God, we're getting Conte. He's just won the league. We're into Milan. He turned Lukaku into one of the best strikers in the world. He won the FA Cup and league with Chelsea. Why wouldn't we be going for him? This is fantastic. This shows a moment of intent from Daniel Levy that he's going to give the guy who needs all the money to get the job done. And then last night, as it kind of we expect as Spurs fans, our world gets turned upside down. Conte isn't coming. We never intended to give him the money he needed. We wanted him to blood young players or some bullshit that other shit little football clubs have to do. And apparently we weren't going to pay for success, which is what you need to do in the game. So we're back to square one, it seems. Anyway, I don't know, I've kind of blown my load there without even introducing you two. Sorry, that was very egotistical. Spooky and Ricky, how you doing, boys?
Good.
Did, you, not,
Did you agree to do this podcast with the idea that we were signing Conte, Rick?
No, not really. I was available, and that I did want to talk about Conte, but it wasn't just to kind of come on here and shout and moan and scream about it, really.
Would you have been happy with him?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, he was my number one. He was my number one over Poch. And I thought Poch coming back now would be slightly too early. I felt that a lot of the players that either let him down or gone through their cycle with him are still at the club. So it would be a bit of a honeymoon period for the first few months, and then possibly it might slide back into the way things were left. And as well, I felt that because Levy and Poch have a good relationship, that he would promise him, you know, more power when he comes back. Then over the next few months, because Levy knows how he can play Poch and that he's a club man, that he would be able to manipulate him, and it'd go back to the way things were, saying, you know, because of COVID, we can't spend money and all this lot. So with Conte, he's a kind of a more loud character. He knows what he wants, and yet he's been, it's been well documented that he spends money to get the players that he needs. So I thought there'd be a major kind of overhaul with our starting 11, and it would be someone coming in that didn't really know a lot about the kind of dynamics of the club, just wanted to get things done on the pitch. So I thought, And obviously, you know, he's just won the league of Inter. He, you know, won three leagues of Juve, Chelsea. He is a proper manager. Not that Poch wasn't a proper manager, but you know, he's won league titles and cups and everything. So, I put everything into getting Conte. Really, as soon as I heard that he was potentially available, he was my number one.
It wasn't just potentially available. We were actually in talks, weren't we? We were doing everything to get the job done. That's what all the noises were coming out. And then it all just fell apart. Spook, what's your... Because you're generally more philosophical about this than most. What's your take on it?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because like the way I've looked at things since Mourinho left was... We had everything under Pochettino, and everything for me is defined by the connection I had with the club and the players and the team and other supporters. I think we were all pretty much united, you know, all together, all band of brother type of shit going on at Spurs. And then that kind of fell apart and we lost it. And we've never quite reclaimed any of that again. It's not that we didn't have identity before Pochettino. We obviously did, but it was... In instances, it was shambolic in terms of trying to be a proper club. And then we were turned into a proper club for 2 or 3 years, and then we lost it all. So then you're in this position where you're thinking, what do we actually need? Like, you've got Levy talking about DNA, okay? He's talking about misguided decisions when appointing Mourinho. He can see that he made a mistake. Now, that could just be PR bollocks. It could be just his way of trying to apologise to supporters and trying to lead us on that he is understanding of the mistakes that he's making. It's a bit worrying that your chairman is admitting to being naive about what the culture of the club should be about. So you look at Conte. Now, I'm with Ricky in some ways. When I look at Conte, I'm thinking, I can't really criticise the guy. I mean... You obviously can find faults in the style of management, perhaps, or the type of setup that he requires. But in terms of what he's capable of doing, you can't argue with his titles. You can't argue with just the way he's animated on the side of the pitch, in the dugout, in the technical area. He's someone that you know he would instill confidence in you as a supporter, rebuilding a team or trying to build towards something. The thing where it all falls apart is that he does need a particular type of setup and a particular type of club. And I think I was probably naive, along with Ricky and others, thinking that he would somehow be able to fit into Tottenham. And then when you look at it from that perspective, what is Levy doing? He's trying to appoint someone that isn't suited for the club. And yet we want him. we want him to come because we're so fucking desperate. We're so desperate to feel something, to feel that hope again. We're also going to ignore the DNA thing and bring in someone for the short term. And in this instance, that short term isn't really possible. It won't play out because it's like he's a more refined version of what Levy wanted to do with Mourinho, bring in Mourinho for the short term, create and generate momentum and win something. Conte is the same type of manager, but levels above where Mourinho is right now. But it still doesn't fit. So it's a fucking mess. I mean, I'm not saying it's a mess. I mean, I'm not. Spurs supporters are losing their shit at the minute. I'm so embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed. Mate, it's not. It's their embarrassment. And I know it has an impact on our well-being as Spurs supporters. But it's Levy's mess. It's the board's mess. It's obviously just a continuation of what we've had for the last few years. It's the painful rebuild that just will not fucking start. And we are where we are now. We're back to...
the painful rebuild that just will not start.
It won't, though. We haven't looked at... It's just... The next person in just inherits the mess that's been inherited from the mess left over when Poch left. And it's all kind of self-inflicted. It's just what we are at the minute. We're a club that doesn't quite know what they're meant to do, you know. And you've got Levy reacting because the supporters are reacting to everything. And he's not. He thinks he's making the right decision, but he's not. He's not really making the right decision. He's not thinking, right, what should I do here? Let's reclaim a bit of culture and identity, even if it takes two or three seasons. And that would suit Levy as well. If he's not willing to fucking spend money, then do the painful rebuild. Build up to something from within.
Seems like he wants to do... He wants everything, but without spending money and without speculating. And that has been something that's been levied at Levy for years. Like, for you know, for donkey's years. And there's always been an excuse. Like, I've made excuses for him over and over again. There's the stadium, the training ground, COVID, extended costs of building the stadium, and like you can make excuses for them. You understand why we haven't spent any money or we've been reserved in our spending because you had all of these, and then this gives us a foundation to what we're going to do in the future. But it's like, why, if that is the case and you know that you can't spend the money, then like you said, Spook, why go for Conte? Why even bring him into our psyche? If we would have never mentioned him, no one would have ever said, no Spurs fan would have ever said, go and get Conte. Well, some might have, but it was just like, well, he's ex-Chelsea, he's just left Inter Milan, they've just won the league, it's a difficult situation. No one would have batted an eyelid if we'd never even talked about Conte. So go to him. Clearly, seemingly knowing that we wouldn't have the money to back him to achieve success in the short term, whatever that means in the medium term, to the stability of our future successes, or the idea about, you know, building slowly so that a more sustained success might be achievable in the future. The only thing we do know is throwing money at football means you're much more likely to get results. That's the only fact. That's the only fact. That's the only thing you can absolutely pin your hat on is the fact that if you throw money at football, then good things happen, because that's the game now. For us to build this project, it means forgiving the idea that winning something isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all. And like you say, I'm okay with that if that's the case. If it's Pochettino and feeling like we did back then, if we can somehow gauge or recapture that feeling, then I'd take it. And then, you know, if we win a pot on that journey, then fantastic. And, you know, that would be the best way to go. But you're not doing that. You're having conversations with Conte. You know, Poch was there. If you wanted Poch to start this, then you should... He will have a release clause. You can activate that. You can't... Like, there was this thing coming out that Poch saying that, Poch would have been able to come to Spurs if he'd have made more of a stink, if he would have made more of an effort to leave. Like, if he would have made him... You're asking him to make his position untenable because you don't want to do the respectful thing and pay whatever fee PSG should demand of him. And I bet Daniel Levy, when he's selling Kane, will want every penny from that deal. But you want to get everything from... You know, what's the plan? What are you trying to do? And then activate it. But currently, it's just like, oh, fuck, Conte's available. Let's try and get him in. But let's get him in, but make him do stuff that he's not known for doing or that he's not comfortable doing. And we're not going to give you any money. We want you to do all everything you've achieved at previous clubs, but here's half the money to do it. We want to be a big club, and Daniel Levy thinks like a big club manager without a big club chairman, without behaving like one. That's the problem.
For me, I think when you've got the managers are being banded around of Ten Hag, Potter, Martinez, whoever it might have been, and then Conte becomes available with a manager of that caliber, I think he's kind of ignored what he'd said in his PR, you know, going back to playing the Tottenham way and DNA and all that lot. So if there was a possibility of getting someone like Conte that has had that, recent success, then you've just got to go for it. And they know it's going to be short term. And within that short term, you're probably thinking, right, we'll get two seasons out of him, possibly three, and Poch would be done with PSG by then. And then he comes back and does this painful rebuild or whatever. I don't know what it is, but so I think they've gone to go for Conte, and from what you kind of read between the lines and everything that I'm reading, that personal terms and everything was pretty much agreed, but it's the kind of the two sticking points was how much money he'll get to invest in the squad. And that he doesn't particularly want to rely on or play blood youth players. So I think there's still a little bit of me that is hopeful that it can still be pulled off. There's the part that, you know, everyone in the press is now saying talks have cooled, talks have stalled, blah, blah, blah. And then I've seen as well that people say that Conte, when he is going to be announced as a manager, he always does throw a spanner in the works. Maybe it's a power play. Maybe it's just to see how much they want to be, the project that they're proposing. How really into it are they? Are they just saying it just to get me there? So when he does say, oh, I need, actually, you've promised me 100 million. I want 180 million. And youth players don't really care about them. I want to buy the players and know that I've got trusted players. That, you know, the goalposts have slightly moved. And I'm just hoping that with the kind of the press that they're getting and a lot of the fans' outrage and stuff like that on social and the feeling that Levy will just be like, fuck it, just do it. Just get this over the line. Give him the money that he wants. And, take a hit on the youth, whatever it might be, whatever these stumbling blocks might be, that he'll just be like, fuck it. Like, we've got no other choice now. We're in this too deep. Let's just go for it. Because who else at the moment are we going to get in? Like, if we're talking about this rebuild and that we'll be investing in the manager and they're going to have to change our style of play, there's going to have to be a lot going down on this. What manager is gonna do that for us? That's available at the moment.
You know what you said, Rick, about there's a little sort of glimmer of hope that this might still turn around in their favour. That isn't beyond the realms of reality. You know, people, that this stuff happens all the time, and it could be, like you say, a ploy from Conte to get what he needs in order to take the job. And right now, I'd be over the moon if that was the case. It just feels like, though, if the reasons are about money, that will always be the be all and end all with Daniel Levy. And, you know, they gave up a lot when Poch was sacked and we went for Jose Mourinho, and that mindset, that shift in mindset at the club was quite damaging when you look back at it now. And we knew we'd kind of given up on the project and we're like, right, instant success. Jose Mourinho is available. He always delivers. And we gave up on that sort of identity. And Conte's a further testament to that, isn't it? We're still on this path. And maybe going back to someone like Potter, I know it's not exciting. And I was happy with Potter towards the end of the season. I was thinking, do you know what? Graham Potter, they play good football. Probably could get something out of Spurs and it'd be fun on the way and it would be attractive to watch. But then when you've got something else offered, like a shinier car, faster car, you kind of the other car doesn't look as attractive anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's I think that the problem is mentality, isn't it? It's like perhaps the whole project thing, even though I was speaking about it earlier, you know, when I started trying to work things out in my head, maybe that type of stance is detrimental to what we have to do, because what you said, Flav, that you have to throw money at this shit and you have to have this kind of ruthless, cutthroat approach to football. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind, because every club that's above us is there because of money, and you're competing with clubs that have world-class players on the bench. So in order to actually compete with these players or with these teams, you have to rely on them having a bit of a dip in form as well, which I think happened under Pochettino. And that kind of then amplifies the momentum that you generate. And as much as Conte probably goes against DNA and goes against the philosophy of the club and whatever else, and identity and culture, he is the type of person that would shake things up. Much like Mourinho could have, because what Mourinho was meant to do was win us a trophy, and then we would have got that monkey off our back, and it would have been, we've won something now. We know what it feels like to win something. The club knows what it feels like to win something, and then they can build off the back of that. It is messy, because I don't think it's as black and white as people seem to align themselves to in terms of one opinion versus the other. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a middle ground. There is an in-between. You know, it's ideally long-term, you build a culture at the club where the manager has to be the right fit for what you're doing. Now, Chelsea have got that fit where they just bring in people like Conte that can instantly win things, but that's because of the money they've had and invested. We're not in that position, so we always have to look towards academy, and we always have to look towards those players that aren't quite elite. You know, the wages that we pay are slightly different to the wages City and Chelsea and Liverpool and one or two others pay, United. So we are catching up, and it we've been waiting for us to kind of take that next step for so long. And often I say you've got to lead with football, but in order to lead with football, you do have to lead with money. And I know I probably sound or feel hypocritical as well, because I'm thinking, well, hold on a minute, Spook, you're going against what you want. You're saying you want the blueprint, you want Tottenham to play a certain way, culture, identity, and whatever else. But that ain't going to get us anywhere. Whereas maybe someone like Conte might jumpstart what we need, you know,
yeah,
to be able to get somewhere. It's not easy, and I know it's football. Football's meant to be this simplistic thing: kick a ball about, score, win. That's it.
But I just wanted a break from it, to be honest. That's all I wanted. I didn't expect the magic to happen over the summer. I just wanted to stop thinking about it for a bit.
Yeah,
I turned the fucking radio on last night as I drove to the shop, and what were they talking about? Harry Kane. Will he stay? Will he go? Like, this conversation was happening. Hell. This was happening 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's about to go to Europe. Regardless of what is going to happen with Harry Kane, it's not going to happen while he's playing for England in the European Championship. So, you know, and I turn it on, it's just there again, like Harry Kane, and then Conte, and you're like, well, that's hopeful. And then it all falls apart, and you're like, fuck, I just want a break from it. Not fucking, I don't want miracles to happen. I don't think Daniel Levy's going to suddenly turn into Roman Abramovich and everything will be right at Tottenham. It won't be that, but I just wanted... I didn't, you know, it's nonsense. Just fucking Spurs
I think the media and the way we kind of digest what they share, I think that's distorted things a lot, because during this whole last week, it feels like the negotiations have been taking place in a fucking theatre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The all the journos are there with popcorn, like watching and writing notes down, because they all seem to know everything, every little detail about what's going on. And I think a lot of the stuff is amplified and exaggerated, and there is a lot of shit, because we nearly signed him, we were about to announce him, and then the deal's on hold, and then it's back, and it's happening. And no one really knows what's going on. I know journos, some are in the know. I know the club also leaks information to build up a bit of hype and anticipation, but I think a lot of the time we just... pinch of salt, you know.
What did you make of Alistair Gould's video last night? Because it's weird. I mean, it feels like he's an emotionally involved massively. He's clearly a Spurs fan. But as a reporter, do we want his emotion? Like, how do we know how much of what we're reading in his articles is because of what he wants rather than what he knows?
This is a quirky thing, right, from my perspective. I don't know why it irritates me so much, but it's this thing about, I'm so embarrassed to be a Tottenham supporter. It's a fucking shit. Okay, mate, it's... You know, people saying I'm done with it. I don't care anymore. I'm done with football. I'm like, mate, we've had worse times. Just this is like, I know it's frustrating.
It's nothing in comparison to that level.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when you've got a journalist reacting like that, and he's tweeting, don't mind the bloke as well.
No, he's great. Just quickly, sorry, because I just became aware to me that not everyone would have seen it. So what it is Alistair Goldie. He does videos along with his fantastic reporting, and generally I think he gets everything spot on, and he's a fantastic resource for Spurs fans to have. But he posted a video by his own admission last night when he was quite tired. He's on holiday, and he was tired, but he felt like he had to react to this, and it was quite emotional. It wasn't necessarily news, although there was definitely news in it, but it felt like a lot of opinion and emotion as well. And you know, like I said, as a journalist, it's not always best to try and allow that to, unless you're writing columns and whatnot. But in this instance, where you're taking information based on your sources and you're perpetuating it, to not let your opinion or emotion seep into that is quite important. Well, it's not football, it's important. It's fucking football. It means nothing. But do you know what I mean? In terms of journalism,
I think it fed into how everyone was feeling on Twitter, for example.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the reason why he led with certain words about it being a mess and whatever else. And he's not lying, but at the same time, I think the last year or so, the football, the European Super League, the protests, I think it's a build-up of all that. I think normally we wouldn't have had this much coverage. I mean, I've never known negotiations between chairman and manager to be this exposed in terms of narrative, in terms of information. Do you know what I mean? It feels like we have been a part of it as well, sat in that theatre watching it play out. And usually it's just, oh, we're interested in someone, there's talks going on, and then it's announced or it just disappears. I think it's just pantomime now. You know, Levy's obviously the director of this particular show, but... I think it was unnecessary. Maybe, you know, the guy's on holiday, isn't it? And
I was about to say that I feel for him because I've seen that he is on holiday, and all year he's been reporting on Spurs, the ups and downs and this, that and the other. And he gets his first bit of annual leave to spend with his family and put his feet up, enjoy the sun and all that lot. And now, like, all this is coming about. So if we're you know, so he's had to kind of down tools, tell his family, like, Daddy's just got to go off on his laptop for a few hours, and his, you know, missus probably rolling her eyes and all that lot. And you're like, oh, fuck's sake, man. This is breaking news. I've got to do it. Blah, blah, blah. Puts it all out. And then at the 11th hour, not happening. All that work that you've invested in writing and putting out, and it's come undone. So
Imagine the conversation, Rick. We're dinner, and he's looking at his phone, and his wife's like, Will you put your phone down? You're supposed to be on holiday. You've been doing this all year. Will you just put your phone down? And he's like, knowing full well she's not going to understand. She's not appreciate the gravity of this situation currently and why he's best placed to comment and give this news about this, right? And he's going to go, you go.
Yeah, he's been ordered to put his phone in the special drawer where you're not allowed to go for these certain times, and they're eating the dinner, and all you can hear is the vibration of the phone on the silent where everything's popping up. She's just like looking at him, and they're trying to talk about like nice stuff, but it's just like, and it's like, fuck's sake, man, fuck you, Tottenham.
No, she's going, don't. Just don't ignore it, and they can't get on with a lovely meal because this is just do not answer that. If you answer that phone, no tits later, no tits for you at all. We all know how much you love these. Nothing for you, Ali. If you go to that phone, oh, I'm not interested in the phone. I told you, I'm not interested in the phone. Can we just eat our fucking spaghetti bolognese? Yes, good. Man, it was, and he's going, oh, God, fuck, all right. She lets him go, go on in 5 minutes. He goes, got to do a video. Poor mate. And he clearly is a fan. He feels a lot about the club. If he, like, it must be emotionally draining to just to do this as well. Does this impact how negatively does this impact, do you think, Rick, Levy's position at Tottenham and Enoch? And obviously he's not going anywhere because he owns the club or loans a large part and Joe Louis owns the other one. But
well, I think all of this will come out, won't it? Like, well, if Conte doesn't come off, will Conte come out and say why he didn't sign for Tottenham? Will Levy come out and say why Conte didn't sign for Tottenham?
Definitely.
But then it's how do they then get the kind of positive spin on this? Who are they going to employ? Where be like, oh, I didn't get Conte, but we've got. Oh, we didn't get Conte, but we've got this transfer under the under the belt, and so it's what can they do to for
that's a good
damage
question.
Control, really,
what can they do
at the moment? When you've got someone the caliber of Conte, where everything apparently personal terms were agreed, but then also you've got this little sprinkling of dog shit on the cake, we'll say, and that sprinkling of dog shit that everyone has got in their mouth and it's all between their teeth and they're like coughing because it's in the back of their throat now, right, is that everybody has just renewed their season ticket because they thought Conte was signing, and they thought we were actually going to do something and we were going places and stuff, so everyone is now kicking off, and rightfully so, that they've been sold a dud, that the kind of media spin from Tottenham has been, right, go to these media outlets, really push out that, you know, Conte's all but signed, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, formalities. How far along were we in that process, really? And was it just to get us to renew our season tickets? I renewed my season ticket. I will admit, I didn't renew it because of Conte. I renewed it because the club have me over a barrel and have done for many, many years. And if they employed a fucking parrot as our coach, I would still say, yeah, here's my season ticket money. I want to see my mates. I want to see my dad. I want to go for beers. I want to cheer my team. I want to feel those fucking amazing giddy highs and those horrible lows. I want it all, and I've been away for so long that I would have paid my money, and they fucking know that. So what am I going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's too much to turn down. Even though it's the most expensive ticket in Europe, it's still too much. It's too much to turn down. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with holding people accountable, but the frustration part of this is there's nothing you can do. Like, you can... And you should campaign, you should protest about anything you feel aggrieved about. But fundamentally, as we've said so many times, and everyone's acutely aware, is we're not members of this club. None of us are. We don't own any part of it. We don't have any say. We have no control over what happens at our club, but it controls us completely. And that's an incredibly frustrating position to be in. Because no matter how toxic the scenario, no matter how toxic we make White Hart Lane when we go back, if that's what people intend to do, booing, whatever it might be. Daniel Levy knows that. Daniel Levy knows that toxic atmosphere goes away with a couple of wins. He knows that he can ride it out, and he knows fundamentally there's nothing lawfully, legally, or otherwise anyone can do to remove him from the club. So, and he's not. When you're talking about a company that has built Tottenham up to be worth over £1 billion, they're not going to be moved by a disgruntled fan base. It's just not. It isn't in the realms of reality. So it's about, what do we do? Do we eat shit for a bit and hope things get better? Because that's the only option we can do. And that seems to be the only way. It's the same with all of these processes. Look at how many thousands of Arsenal fans came out. That bloke fell off, he broke his leg or whatever it was. People going mental over there. I've never seen Arsenal fans as active ever and nothing, not a single thing has changed, and it never will, unless these club owners want to leave. And you're dealing with people that are dealing with situations and scenarios that are so much more complex and risky than a few Spurs fans being angry. And then I get why you should be, and I am as well. I'm so, feel so fucking sick of it, dejected. Like, bored, actually. Is bored that I can't just go on, just, let's just enjoy the football bit. Let's just do the football bit, rather than there's all these always these continuous subtexts towards why Spurs aren't doing what we all hoped that they would do. Or maybe I'm just spending way too much time on Twitter and should just forget about it and just look forward to being back in the stadium again and being with your mates. I think that's a part of the problem.
Yeah, that I think that definitely is. I think for most people, I think they miss that kind of...
Because your only interaction is online then, isn't it? It's
yeah,
Twitter.
It's exactly. It's all just this kind of melting pot, isn't it, right now? And no one knows. If there's no release. You want the release that you get when you are with your mates and you are going to the football, and it is about the football then, because you're actually there. You know, it's not, you're not sat indoors on your sofa. But I think the fundamental problem with Levy is I don't think he really gives a fuck.
No,
about what we think.
Of course not.
And because he knows exactly what, you know, kind of to echo what Ricky said, he knows that emotionally people, you know, this is something that's part of our life. I know it's an escapism, but it's more than that, because life is kind of made up of distractions, because you'd go mad if you didn't have any, you know, whether it's music, drugs, whatever. Football's a big part. And it's a big part because it binds us together. You know, like I know you guys because of football. Do you know what I mean? Like, but most friendships are kind of built around following Spurs and the rest of it. So he knows he's got us. He's got everybody. Whether you go to games or not, you're thinking about Spurs all the time. So the fact that he has that over us means that he can pretty much... I'm not saying he's pretending to make things right, but deep down, the guy is a control freak. I mean, the guy is an absolute control freak. And this isn't just some kind of cliched Daniel Levy diss. It's just that, you know, in terms of negotiations, in terms of his attitude towards certain things, he will do everything in his power to make Tottenham more kind of commercial. And in terms of brand and stature, he's got all that right. But on the football side of it, he's misguided. Even if he thinks he's doing the right thing, he quite obviously isn't, you know. And I don't know, this appointment, this alleged appointment of a director of football, sporting director, we've had these before, you know, with Arneson and the rest of them. You know, what does that mean? Is this someone to come in to take the pressure off Levy? Or is it someone to come in so that Levy can point his finger and blame someone for when we signed another Lamella or Soldado or whatever? Do you know what I mean? It's, you don't quite know. You just don't. There's no way of knowing what he's aiming for, you know. And even though we're talking about Conte not being the right fit, but at the same time, possibly being the right person at this moment in time to come in and do something for Spurs, the fact that we don't even know, it kind of defines how fucked up things are at the minute. I mean, what is football about? Is it just about throwing money? You know, or is it more than that? Is it about the old traditional thing about belonging and feeling attached to the football and the players and the rest of it? What, I don't know, man. I think we've all gone a bit fucking crazy in the last year or two.
I'm going to go back to the... Oh, sorry, go on, mate.
No, crack on.
No, I was going to say, going back to the season ticket thing, like in this, how we've kind of consumed football at the moment with COVID, we've all become so detached from it, from not going to the games and fans not being there and stuff like that. And our behaviour of how we watch and consume football has completely changed. Like, whether it's been, there's more football on Sky, there's different games on different days, which you wouldn't normally see, BT, people with dodgy streams and stuff like that. And so a lot of people, I mean, it's only from what I was seeing, what I was reading, a lot of people were massively on the fence when they were going to renew. Well, I wouldn't say really on the fence. Like, do you know that iconic image of the New York skyscraper and those workers are on that beam in the middle of the sky and they've got their sandwiches? That's where we were. That's where our fans were. That's how much on the fence they were.
I don't know how. Well, I think the perception might have been that there were lots of people on the fence, but I reckon loads of people just renewed without even thinking.
What really about the manager appointment?
Do you mean about renewing?
Yeah, about renewing. They're really on the fence, and then all this broke about contract, and everyone's like, "Do you know what? That is pretty good news. That's enough. That's enough to tip me." I'll redo it again, and I won't bother with the streams and all that lot anymore.
I know you mentioned you was going to do it already, but do you think that impacted people that they thought, all right, fuck it, or were they always going to? Because I know that's been thrown at them.
Yeah, I was always going to, but from what I was reading and what I was seeing, people were swayed by the managerial choice because it was a show of intent and ambition, and that's something that we have been lacking, and it's what a lot of people wanted. We want to win trophies, and what you've already said previously is, you know, spending money to potentially get back into the top four, to get the FA Cup, to get the managers that do this, and I think that's what people were buying into. One more go of the season ticket, one more, fuck it, gone then. You got Conte, you've got me, let's go. And that hasn't happened. So, yeah, it might be a small part, might be a big part, but I just think, I don't know, man. It just feels a bit slippery to me.
If you bought a season ticket, do you have like 21 days to change your mind? Because often major purchases, you can change your mind. I know a lot of people are saying that it was a ploy to get people to renew. But I wonder if there was a process where if you've made a payment and something's happened in your life and shit, I can't afford to do this no more, that you can get that. You can return that back. So if anyone's out there who feels like they've been duped into buying a season ticket, and I don't think there's that many, I'd be amazed if people just suddenly thought, all right, I will give Spurs £1,200 or whatever it might be because Conte may sign. But if there is anyone out there, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get your money back and give up the ticket if you wanted to. I know that's not the point, but might look into it just in case if you feel like you have been duped. What about, before we finish here, what about this Paratici? He's coming anyway, apparently. Originally, it was Conte's coming, so this guy's going to come. Now he's coming in spite of Conte, which makes me think a little bit that if we are going to sell Kane, we need someone in there to broker all the deals and whatnot to bring the players in. It's probably too much for Daniel Levy to do on his own, or he's incapable of doing it. Or maybe this is just the start of something new and he's going to be there to bring in players that we need to become a better football club on the pitch.
Apparently he's going to be involved now in targeting a new coach or manager to bring in. So
imagine if you went,
what the media's saying, but
Daniel Levy went, Fabio, have you heard of Eddie Howe? And Fabio's like, what? What's an Eddie Howe? Doesn't matter. Graham Potter. Have you heard of a Graham Potter? What are you saying? What are these words you're saying to me? No, I've never heard of Graham Potter. What we need, because this is a guy. This isn't a guy who finds untapped gems. You know what I mean? No, this is a guy who signed Ronaldo, De Ligt, Cancelo. I think the guy who now plays, or Cancelo, who plays for Manchester City. He signed Dybala as well, but all for like significant amounts of money. It's not like Arsenal buying Patrick Vieira for 3.5 million and him becoming best midfielder in the world.
I don't know enough about this geezer, if I'm honest.
Nor do I, to be honest. I don't know enough.
I wanted the director of football, sporting director, whatever it might be. I wanted that to come in because I just think a layer between the manager and Levy is necessary.
Yes, especially if that current layer is Steve Hitchin.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think as well that if it is kind of like Levy to say to Newman, here's this pot of money, you can spend it however you want, but you're not getting any more than that. And then him and the manager decide on which players they want. And it's not Levy kind of brokering the deal and trying to go and trying to renege on stuff. And if they want to spend 80 million on a goalkeeper or something like that, and that's what they feel is the missing key, missing ingredient, then let them do it. But yeah, like you were saying, this guy has found a lot of players, but they're generally players that are already established.
What I would say, though, if he has a track record of doing that, Rick, that is a skill in itself. Getting big name players signed by a football club is different.
Yeah, completely.
All right, sorry, mate. I thought I jumped on you. You were just ending your point there. Do you think Steve Hitchens, part of his job is when Daniel Levy's in the office to just sit cross-legged by his side so that Daniel Levy can just rest his Starbucks on his head?
Yeah, you know, like in James Bond, the villain has a cat. Steve Hitchens just laying on Levy's lap like a cat.
Yeah, just stroking his really round circular head. That's good boy, Steve. Good boy. Done any signs today? No, I haven't, Daniel. Good boy. Good boy. Made any inquiries about potential players coming to Spurs? Yes, one. What division was in? League Two. Good boy. Good boy. Imagine now, right? I'm just going to throw something out there. Everton signed Conte. What? Imagine that meltdown. Because that's something I can see. Everton, I mean, ready to throw money at fucking shit. Imagine that happened.
That's something that I have thought about. Not Everton and Conte, but imagine Everton just go like, right, okay, we could be like Tottenham and we could be reaching to get these managers that are already in jobs and they're slightly out of our reach and stuff like that. Everton just go, right, we're just going to go straight to Potter because we know he's got this, that and the other. And they put the money down and they bring Potter in straight away. And that's kind of, I get the feeling Potter's on our list, but he's like lower down on the list. And then if Potter goes to Everton, Conte's not there. Ten Hag's like, well, you've been caught in all these other managers. I'll stick with Ajax and stay in the Champions League, thanks. Who the fucking hell is going to come manage us? Honestly, and as well, like I was saying, like damage control. Who's going to be a big enough name to appease the fans?
What manager would? There's only one right now. There's two. There's Pochettino and there's Ten Hag.
Yeah,
that seems to be the only two now. Well, how did I? would either of those
screwed, mate? Screwed.
Would either of those tickle your fancy? I mean, I don't think Pochettino is going to happen now, but Ten Hag is the only one. I mean, would he? Like, it seems a bit undignified,
yeah,
doesn't it? Like now for him to go, yeah, I'm still. Oh, what am I? Sixth? Was that sixth choice? Yeah, I think it might be seventh. Sorry, seventh choice. Yeah, I'm happy to come to you. I'll give up my job at Ajax. I think it's because so much of this is probably not uncommon, this process. But because, as Spooky said, so much of it's been played out. You know, there's so much media interest and so much reporting that Spurs can't go about their business in the way they want to. And the reality is, as we found out when, you know, Martin Jol, conversations with clubs and managers are happening all the time. Martin Jol had a conversation with Newcastle while still at Spurs. And it only came out later, but because there wasn't the goldfish bowl that we currently find ourselves in, clubs can kind of act in a much more clandestine way. Whereas now, every action and every story that comes out is reacted as if it's truth. Like I did a stupid thing last night, and I went on my Twitter account and tweeted. I basically was getting, I'd had a drink, and I was like, there was people just like people tweeting like they were in the boardroom, like they know everything, and just like. You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking as if you know what you're talking about. And people are reading it going, this guy must know what he's talking about. But none of us know what we're talking about. So all there's just is this misinformation, or there's an intentional misdirection, or worse than that, those two things, and it's much worse, it's frustration. You're just reading people's frustration. So I decided to react and stupid. I was just like, as soon as I did it, I was like, that was fucking stupid. I know the rules. I know how it works. I know you don't engage. You don't do it. You don't do it. And I did it. just stupid, and you know, it caused other people to have a go at this bloke, which is, you know, not something I wanted to do. Anyway, I was in myself frustrated with it all, and it's all,
I think,
just
we're frustrated, mate.
Yeah, it's all just thing. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Anything to add, boys? No,
no, mate. I'm done.
On to the next week, isn't it?
Yeah, see, we'll probably have something else to talk. We'll definitely have something else to talk about next week. But it could it be Conte? Could it be Ten Hag? Could it be Pochettino? Or just make the decision. Let's just fucking get on with it, whatever it is. All right, boys. Yeah, it's been the Fighting Cop podcast. We'll speak to you all soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.